From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer in for Robin Young. It's Here and Now. Next Tuesday, President Obama will deliver his State of the Union address. But we don't have to wait to hear how things are going in the states. Many governors have been giving their State of the State addresses. Not too long ago, a lot of the states were dealing with budget issues. This year, many of them are looking closely at the Affordable Care Act. Education is also a big theme this year.
Yesterday, in her State of the State address, South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, a Republican, talked about her plan to improve public schools without a tax increase.
We can transform education in South Carolina, and we can do it without raising a single tax, without taking a single existing dollar away from a single district.
Meanwhile, in New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo, a Democrat, talked about education in his speech.
There are great disparities in education. At some schools, there are children who are on the internet. Some schools, they don't even have a basketball net.
Well, joining us now to look at the state of the states are three reporters from California. We're joined by Scott Detrow, KQED Sacramento Bureau Chief. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. And from Idaho, we've got Scott Graff, who's host of Boise State Public Radio's Morning Edition. Hi, Scott Graff.
Hi, Jeremy.
And from Missouri, we've got Marshall Griffin, Capitol reporter for St. Louis Public Radio. Hi, Marshall.
Hello.
And let's go to California first, and you, Scott Detrow. As we said, education, a big issue, and Governor Jerry Brown delivering his State of the State address. Here he is saying that there should be more control at the local level for the schools in California.
Instead of prescriptive commands issued from headquarters here in Sacramento, more general goals have been established for each local school to attain, each in its own way. This puts the responsibility where it has to be, in the classroom and at the local district. With 6 million students, there's no way the state can micromanage teaching and learning in all the schools from El Centro to Eureka, and we shouldn't even try.
So, Scott, is education, first of all, Jerry Brown's biggest issue in 2014? And what is he proposing exactly?
Sure. Well, this was more of a re-election speech. Brown is up for re-election. He's served as California governor longer than anybody else has, and he actually hasn't said he's running for re-election yet, but all accounts are he is running for another term. And what he's talking about here is a program that Brown pushed through the legislature last year that changed the way that California funds local school districts. It directs more money to schools with poor students and students who are learning English as a second language. And it also takes away a lot of the mandates, you know, you have to spend X amount on this and X amount on that, and gives local control to the school districts to spend money as they want. This is a follow-up on a 2012 proposition that raised taxes. Nikki Haley is talking about not raising taxes. California took the opposite approach to fund education, and they hiked the sales tax and income tax on high earners temporarily to pay for this education, and Brown followed that up by rejiggering the funding formula.
And does Governor Brown have support in the legislature for this? I know he's got a lot of friends in the legislature. It's a very Democratic state.
He does, yes. They did put that into law last year. He was talking about it during the State of the State yesterday because California actually codified the formula through the regulatory process earlier this week. So that's something that Brown is patting himself on the back for. His big theme for this year was more fiscally focused, urging lawmakers to appreciate the fact that the state has a $4 billion surplus. That's an unusual thing for California compared to recent years, but urging them to not spend it on more programs and save it for rainy day funds and also pay off long-term debt.
And we're going to get to that because that's a very interesting part of this as well, as a lot of states are talking about putting money into rainy day funds instead of taking money out of rainy day funds for the rainy day. But let's get to you, Scott Graff, in Boise. I want to hear what Idaho Republican Governor Butch Otter said. He was talking about how he wants more people in Idaho to have advanced degrees. Let's listen.
Indeed, the task force recommendations and the work that they already is already inspiring to make great promise and the idea of K-12 education obsolete. The standard for Idaho's commitment to education excellence and workforce readiness can perhaps better be characterized as K through career. Now I want that to sink in for just a moment. K through career.
Scott Graff, tell us more about that, K through career.
Well, there, I should mention first, in the governor's speech, he mentioned there that the task force, and that was a group of about 20 stakeholders from across the state, different walks of life, many from the world of education, that he assembled to really take a look at the biggest matters in education and how the state can make its education system better in the coming years. And what the governor is talking about with his K through career slogan there, it's sort of a... It's an acknowledgement that he wants to see the state provide more support for professional technical programs at the state's colleges and universities here. He's asking for some one-time and some ongoing investments in advanced manufacturing training programs, for instance. Bigger picture, it reflects an ongoing effort here in Idaho to increase the number of students who graduate from high school and who go on to get college degrees or things like professional certifications. The state ranks very low on per pupil funding, but Idaho kids actually do fairly well on standardized tests. But for some reason, there's a lot of different theories here on why an unusually low percentage of Idaho students go on to college. So the push here is to get 60% of Idaho kids to go on to higher formal education once they graduate high school by the year 2020. And this is an acknowledgement that the state needs to do a better job preparing its workforce for the kinds of jobs that employers have here on the ground today and the kind of jobs that Idaho commerce officials would like to recruit to the state in the coming years.
And Marshall Griffin, to you in Missouri, the governor there, Jay Nixon, who's a Democrat, said there's nothing more important for the government to be doing than providing opportunity for Missouri's children. What's he proposing?
He is proposing a large increase in education spending. Now, he focused a lot of his talk on K through 12, obviously, but overall, he's proposing a spending increase of nearly $500 million. It's about $493 million from preschool all the way through the university level. To borrow perhaps the governor of Idaho's phrase, K through career, that might actually catch on in a few other states, I believe. But specifically, $278 million more dollars for K through 12 schools in Missouri. The funding formula for K through 12 schools has not been fully funded in Missouri for nearly a decade, and Governor Nixon said that this increase that he's proposing is a goal toward full funding taking place 1 year from now.
So many aspects of education are obviously major priorities for governors this year. And a close runner-up is health care. You know, these governors have to figure out how to deal with implementing the Affordable Care Act, what to do about Medicaid expansion. Probably of the three of your governors, Scott, and Marshall, the most resistant is Governor Butch Otter in Idaho. So let's listen to what he had to say in his State of the State about the health care issue.
I repeat the commitment that I made to the legislative leadership soon after the U.S. Supreme Court decision found much of Obamacare constitutional in 2012. I will not advance Idaho's role in that law's implementation without your advice and consent. On the issue of Medicaid expansion, we should not jump into the deep end without knowing what's on the bottom. We must not risk our own other priorities on the prospect of long-term support from a federal government that has not proven that it can responsibly manage our money. So for this year, and until we're better positioned and prepared to succeed under our own terms, my answer remains not this year.
Again, that's the governor of Idaho. So Scott Graff of Boise State Public Radio, he's tough there on the federal government. Is his concern that taxpayers in Idaho are left holding the bag if federal funding isn't sustainable?
Yep, that's exactly what it is. There is major distrust from the Republican Party in Idaho towards the federal government, and that's something that has historical representations in the state. This goes back a really, really long time, but that's one way that it's sort of manifesting itself in the current legislative session. Idaho is, you know, one of the states that did not expand Medicaid lawmakers last year. It was something that Democrats wanted to push. They kind of knew they had a big uphill battle, but Republicans chose to adjourn the legislative session before they addressed the issue last year. Then they said they wanted to study it in the legislative off-season, but really the issue has kind of disappeared here. It's not something that is getting a lot of traction. Democrats still want to pursue it. They recognize that the state is leaving hundreds of millions of dollars over the next 10 years or so on the table by not expanding the program, but it all comes back to the Republican-controlled legislature. The governor here is a Republican, and that distrust of the federal government was very evident a year ago, and I think with the year that Washington, D.C. had, with the government shutdown and just the continuing budget battles that Washington is waging, I don't think did anything to instill any more confidence here in Idaho that they wouldn't. Though historically, you know, there's not really precedence for the federal government having a program of this size and then backing out. There's some concern that maybe Republicans could become the controlling party in Washington and make major cuts to Medicaid. Then the states who have committed have essentially then overcommitted, and state taxpayers are on the hook for something that they're not really capable at all of paying for.
Now, the governor of Missouri, Democrat Jay Nixon, is more in the middle here. Marshall Griffin of St. Louis Public Radio, he has called on lawmakers in Missouri to expand Medicaid, but I noticed there was a bit of a sort of, let's say, diplomatic criticism, because he said, by standing still, we're making the things we don't like about Obamacare even worse, forcing Missourians to bear all the costs of the law. So tell us about his position.
Well, last year he tried to push Medicaid expansion by saying it would be a job creator, creating 24,000 new jobs. This year he's framing it in the argument of other states' Medicaid dollars, Missouri's Medicaid dollars are going to other states, and we need to funnel those dollars back to Missouri, and by expanding Medicaid we can do that. The Republicans remain staunchly, strongly opposed to that. The House Speaker, in fact, said that the best way to expand health care access in Missouri is to put caps on medical malpractice lawsuits.
And we should note, Jerry Brown of California, basically all in on this issue. He's definitely supportive of expanding.
Yeah, and Scott, just stand by there, because we want to take a quick break, and we should remind our listeners we're talking about the state of the states here, as all the governors around the country are giving their assessments of how things are going, the economy, as we just heard, the implementation of the Affordable Care Act, education, and other issues, and we're going to talk more about this. We're speaking with Scott Detrow, KQED Sacramento Bureau Chief, Scott Graff, the host of Boise State Public Radio's Morning Edition, and Marshall Griffin, Capitol reporter for St. Louis Public Radio. Stand by, all. We will be back. This is Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, offering a variety of insurance products, including auto, renters, boat, and motorcycle. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's Here and Now. I'm Jeremy Hobson, along here in Boston with Sasha Pfeiffer. Let's get back to our conversation on the state of the states. We are speaking with Scott Detrow, the Sacramento Bureau Chief for KQED San Francisco, Scott Graff, the host of Boise State Public Radio's Morning Edition, and Marshall Griffin, Capitol reporter for St. Louis Public Radio. And Scott Detrow, let me go to you now, because you mentioned earlier that the governor is talking about putting money into the rainy day fund, which is something we have not heard in a while from governors. Tell us about that. How good are things in California? Because I know there are still, $355 billion in unfunded liabilities.
Right. Well, that's a major problem that Brown acknowledges. But here in the short term, things look pretty good. I mean, you need to take the contrast from when Governor Brown came into office again in 2011. He faced a $25 billion deficit. This year, the state has $4 billion in surplus. So I think a lot of lawmakers and the governor are pinching themselves and not quite believing it. And that's going to set up a real struggle as the budget process moves toward completion in June, because California's legislature is dominated by Democrats. They hold two-thirds of seats in both the Assembly and the Senate. And there are a lot of lawmakers who are really, really anxious to restore the funding cuts that the state had to go through during the recession, to kind of build back up these social safety net programs that the state had to scale back. Governor Brown has proposed modest increases in a lot of those programs. He's funneled a lot of the proposed increase he wants into education. But the governor is telling lawmakers that they need to stay conservative, that he wants to use $11 billion this year to pay off long-term debt, and he wants to start stocking up that rainy day fund again, because his argument is that California, the way that its tax revenues are set up, when the economy's going well, the state recovers very quickly and it has excess cash. I mean, you can look at the dot-com boom when the state was just rolling in billions and billions of dollars for an example of that. But he says as soon as things go south, the state was one of the first to have a gigantic deficit. So what he wants to do is put a constitutional amendment on the ballot for voters to approve this year that would commit the state to banking the excess money that it gets from, especially from capital gains tax returns.
Right.
That's taxes that come in from market gains. Because that's typically the roller coaster. When things are good, they're through the roof. When things are bad, they bottom out. He wants to bank that extra money for down years so that the state isn't in the position that it was when he started, where they're looking at $20 billion right. to cut.
Well, Marshall Griffin, what about you in Missouri? There is also a surplus in that state.
Yes, but the size of that surplus is in dispute. According to Governor Nixon, it is, most are saying it's about $140 million surplus. The Republicans, I believe, are holding to that figure. The governor thinks it's more around $300 million. And so there's going to be differing budget proposals this year. No, I mean, there always are in Missouri, but this year they're going to be starkly different because of the amount of money. Now, the governor is basically saying that things are the revenue is coming in rather well, and that's one of the reasons why he's proposing a lot more money for education. And as far as Medicaid expansion, he says all of that will come from the federal government, won't cost Missouri anything. And the Republicans are basically saying, you know, things are a little better, but they're not that great. We need to, you know, conservatively plan our budget for next year. And there's going to be a rather big budget fight coming up in April and May.
And in that sense, there are a lot of issues that are universal or near universal among the states that we're hearing about in the speeches. But there are also some issues that are very state specific, and we wanted to touch on some of those. Scott Detrow in Sacramento, one of the things that Governor Jerry Brown brought up in his speech was water.
Among all our uncertainties, weather is one of the most basic. We can't control it. We can only live with it. And now we have to live with a very serious drought of uncertain duration. Right now, it's imperative that we do everything possible to mitigate the effects of the drought.
Scott, we hear about water concerns a lot in California, but how serious is the situation right now?
It's very serious. All you have to do is Google a satellite image of the Sierra Nevada snowpack. The state really banks on snowfall over the winter to provide water during the year. It's at 20%, less than 20% of where it's supposed to be. It hasn't rained here in Sacramento for more than a month now, and this is typically a very rainy season. It's been a week since Governor Brown declared an official drought. That puts 20 different things into effect. Some of them are mandatory. Others are just kind of advised. But the biggest thing he's doing is urging everyone in California to cut back their water use by 20% on a voluntary basis. And as this drought continues, you'll see more and more drastic measures from the state. He was governor in the 70s during the last major, major drought that California faced that was very serious, and now we're going through that again.
Such a perennial issue there. Scott Graff, an issue that came up during Governor Otter's speech in Idaho had to do with the problem that ranchers and other livestock owners face in terms of losses from wolves, and here's what he said about that.
One form of growth we don't want to encourage is in the wolf population that was imposed upon Idaho almost 20 years ago. With your unflinching support, we were able to fight through the opposition of those who would make Idaho a restricted use wildlife refuge and take back control of these predators from our federal landlords.
So, Scott, clearly an issue very concerning to the West, this part of the West.
It is. The issue of wolves, I would say, is only rivaled by the issue of guns in our neck of the woods in terms of getting people riled up very passionately on both sides. It's an extremely controversial issue here. It dates back to the federal government's reintroduction of wolves into the Northern Rockies back in the mid-1990s. It was controversial then. People in Idaho, a lot of people didn't want it. They still don't. And this is something that I expect to get a lot of traction for the governor, because it's an issue that's very controversial. Many of the people that he would like to have vote for him as he presumably runs for re-election. He's not officially declared either, but he is up for re-election for a third term this year. And it's only $2 million in one-time money. It would develop a wolf control board, his proposal, and also about a five-member panel to manage it. Now, besides the initial allocation, this is interesting, Idaho's livestock industry and hunters would then be responsible for providing some funding every year. The livestock industry tie is obvious because there are a number of cattle and sheep that get lost every year to predation from wolves. But hunters are also involved, not necessarily because they hunt wolves a lot, but because of the effects that wolves have had on the elk populations here in the state of Idaho. And a lot of hunters in this neck of the woods like to hunt elk. And Otter says that the money and the board are necessary to effectively, more effectively control the state's growing wolf population and ease the impact that, they have on livestock and wildlife. But it's interesting because the numbers as of yesterday are even in dispute. How many wolves we have, we can't even seem to agree on. Republican lawmakers questioning the state's first, most recent estimation of wolf numbers.
And I'm guessing this is the only state where there's going to be a wolf control board, although maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there are other states in the region that also have one. But I want to say thanks to all of you, Scott Graff in Boise, Scott Detrow in Sacramento, and Marshall Griffin in Jefferson City, Missouri. Thank you so much to all of you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
And, Sasha, we were talking there about the drought. There is one thing I want to note real fast here. This weekend in Los Angeles, they've been doing these outdoor hockey games. Well, this weekend, for the first time for the NHL, they're going to have one west of the Rockies. It's going to be at Dodger Stadium, the LA Kings and the Anaheim Ducks. The temperature in LA, not surprisingly, is going to be 80 degrees.
Outdoor ice rink in that
outdoor
temperature.
Outdoor ice rink.
A lot
with
of cold
degrees.
Fans blowing
that,
on that.
That will be very interesting.
A cooling challenge.
You're listening to Here and Now.